Good morning, church. If you could stand and sing with me, we'll begin by singing and then we'll do an opening prayer. Oh, I am out of order, but that is fine. Oh, let me grab that. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, give me your peace, O Lord. Safe in your dwelling place, safe in your dwelling place. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, safe in your dwelling place. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O
Be seated, please. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, our Maker, our Creator, we come to you this morning in worship and in prayer. Father, we pray that the songs we sing, the words we say, the thoughts we have would be in accordance with your will. Father, we ask that you accept this worship. Father, we as a church have many concerns on our hearts. We ask that you would be with Stephen and Erica and their family as they move away from us. Father, we ask that you would keep their hearts close to us, even as we miss their presence. Father, be with this church as we seek a new minister. Guide our efforts. Father, we ask that you would bring to our attention the man that you would like to have for us here in the next few years. Father, give us strength. Give us wisdom. Father, we have friends and family who are suffering. We have those who've lost loved ones. We ask that you would be with the Midkiff and the Miller family and the loss of Sister Eula. Be with the Barber and the Summers family and the loss of Nathaniel. Father, be with the Moore family as they treat their mother, Dorothy Moore, and as they struggle to keep her from suffering. Father, be with each one of our friends and our family and our loved ones. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. Father, we ask that you would be with us throughout the rest of our lives, that you would help us to walk uprightly with the fear of God, and that you would help us to love one another deeply, because we know that love covers a multitude of sins. Father, we ask all these things and blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we have our faith and our hope. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
If you want to stand and sing with me again. If I got to stand, you got to stand now. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Good morning, church. As a reminder, we are taking communion with these chalices. I don't know how to describe them. They're plastic. You have the bread on one side and the grape juice on the other. So thank you, all of you who showed up yesterday to the cook-off, to the chili cook-off. I think we had a great time of fellowship. We had a great competition, maybe an unfair competition, but it was still a fantastic time. And I know it was really good because I woke up and took some Pepto. So that was fantastic. I don't know who else had to do that, but definitely had to take care of that. It was spicy this year. And I do want to call out the winner. Congratulations to Preacher Stephen and his family for winning once again. I mean, 2 out of 6 years. It's not like you're like this. You're no Tom Brady, but I mean, okay, it's all right. And I do want to quote Jesus here. Matthew 20, 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That's biblical. But communion is very important for the times where we come together, and the times we come together and share a meal. And that's what this is. We are literally sharing a meal, symbolizing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. So if you don't mind grabbing your plastic chalice, and let's pray over the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us under one roof. Although this is a church building, this is not our church. We are your church, Lord. Please let us be cognizant of the sacrifice your Son made on the cross. And thank you for raising him from the dead and forgiving our sins. Because it is nothing we have done. It's all for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's pray for the grape juice. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for the time of fellowship yesterday. Thank you for the time that we've had with the Walkers. And although our time on a regular basis is coming to a close, we will always cherish those moments and cherish those memories. We'll cherish the time that we had. Thank you for the blood that was spilt on your cross. Thank you for the grace and mercy that we, again, do not deserve, and yet we wholeheartedly, lovingly and thankfully receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we are not taking a true offering, meaning we're not passing a plate in the traditional sense, but there is a tray in the back if you do choose to give, and it's one of our callings to tithe. So I want to bless over the monies given. There's a portal online to give as well. So let's pray over those monies. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us in ways that we couldn't even fathom. Thank you for blessing us with monetary blessings, that is. Thank you for the gift of blessing others in return. Please let the monies that are given today and throughout this week go to you and your kingdom and edifying this church in our community, Lord. Thank you so much again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
At this time, we'll allow the kids to go to their Sunday school as we stand and sing. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
You may be seated.
Oh, nope. Alex forgot. One more time, just stand and greet one another for just a second, and we'll get started. All right, good morning, church. Good morning. Well, once again, welcome. It is good to be with you this morning again, and appreciate all the kind words and thoughts, and appreciate the time that we had together last night. It's good to go out on a win. Yeah, it just feels good. Yeah, I will say it's kind of funny. We give away every year. We have the best overall chili, which I've won twice, and we have most creative chili. And I think I'm the first one to repeat winning best overall chili. Just gonna keep making you aware of that. What's that? Well, I mean, if you know, you know. But I think, Pete got the most creative chili yesterday. And I think just about every year, Pete has won one or the other of those two awards. So while I've been that blind squirrel that every once in a while is found a nut, I think we know the best chili belongs to Pete. So you'll have to have some of that if you haven't had any of that, and just ask for him to make you some. And let's just be honest, the real winner of the chili cook-off was Bianca with the raspberry cupcakes that she made that I took home 4 extras. So anyway, I digress. It is good to be together this morning, and before we get started, let's just go ahead and have a prayer together. Holy Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for family and our time to be together and to encourage one another and to love each other. Father, we are mindful of those who are unable to be with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them. Father, we are also mindful of those who are able to be with us this morning, and we are especially grateful right now for having John Schumann with us and for the progress that he has been able to make, and we ask that you just continue to watch over him, take care of him, be with his doctors, and help that progress to continue. Father, I thank you for this church, for this family, and for the way for just how much they mean to me and my family. And I pray that you will continue to be a blessing to this church, continue to guide them, to give their leaders wisdom, and help move them forward with your direction, Father. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I mentioned John in my prayer there. Good news there. John informs me this morning that he is in partial remission with his cancer, and so making some good progress there. Still so a little ways to go, I guess, with kidneys and all that, but you know, he's here, which is a step further than where you were a couple weeks ago. So we're excited to have John with us. So this is obviously my last sermon with the family here, at least for the time being. And you know, I've debated what to talk about, and really I've just got some notes, and we might just kind of be all over the place a little bit. But maybe what I want to do first is share a story. I don't know if I've ever told you all this story before. It's kind of a funny story. So my last time preaching at the church I came from, 36th Street Church of Christ in Vienna, we get to the end of the service there, and I'm standing up front. People would come up front and were greeting me, and you know, as I'm standing there, and I'm probably standing about as far back in the row as about what Chuck is right now. And so there was, you know, a few rows behind me, and I'm talking to somebody. And as I'm standing there talking, I see one of our deacons come sprinting by me towards the front. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, what's going on? So I turn around to look, and I turn around enough time to see him leaned over the baptistry, and he's like almost swimming in the baptistry. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Well, apparently, one of the children of the youth group decided that this would be a good time to take off their shoe and throw it in the baptistry. And Mark was sprinting to try to catch the shoe before it hit the baptistry, and he didn't quite get there in time, so he had to uh, had to fish the shoe out of the baptistry, and then the whole church got to sit back and watch as the father of this child set this child down on the front row and gave this child a lecture. We don't throw our shoes in the baptistry. You can imagine how difficult it might have been for this father to keep a straight face telling this to their child. This child was Avery, and this father was me. And of course, I've got Avery, and I'm right, Avery, listen. I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. We don't throw our shoes in the baptistry. And of course, Erica is standing about right there where Trevor and Hannah are. And she's just laughing and not helping with the situation at all, as well as the entire church. We're going to try to avoid any type of story like that today, hopefully. I don't really know why that's relevant. I just thought it was kind of a funny story, and you know, we have funny stories. We have enjoyable stories that remind us of the people that we're with, the people that that we get to spend our lives with. And I appreciate Chuck's prayer and this idea of keeping our hearts close to each other. I thought maybe today what I would do is I would share a couple stories. And these stories are maybe what I would like to call my rock stories. I shared some of these stories with you all. I'm going to guess it was probably January, February sometime of 2017. No, 2016. So I began working here January 1st, 2016, and shortly after that time, we had a congregational meeting. We were stood in here in room 17 and had a congregational meeting, and I was asked just to maybe give a little thought, and so I got up front. You all were still getting to know me at that time, and so I thought maybe I'd share some stories so that you would get to know me and kind of my philosophy of ministry and all that. And I shared a few stories. I want to share those stories with you again as well, maybe add a few stories to that. So I think there's something to be said for having a plan for ministry and what ministry looks like. And ministry looks like many different things for many different people. And in many ways, ministry, as far as it comes to reaching out and preaching the word, is just simply that. It's preaching the gospel. And the gospel is very much a gospel in word. And it's something that we share to those who have never heard the gospel. But there's also a sense in which we share the gospel with each other. With each other, even as we've heard the gospel on so many different occasions. And sometimes the way that we share the gospel with each other is not by sitting down and reading through the Bible with each other, but rather it is in sitting down and reading through our lives together and sharing our lives together. A favorite passage of mine we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, and the apostles are addressing the church at Thessalonica, and Paul's writing this, and he says, "Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." And I think that's such a beautiful picture of ministry, of being able to share not just the gospel, but to share our lives. So when I was in high school, a friend of mine from church, his name is Eddie Kincaid. He came to me one Sunday morning, and he had a rock, just a little rock, and he handed it to me, and he said, "Here." I was walking along. He had a creek, I think, near his house, and he'd walk along the creek bank sometimes, and he'd find little rocks there. He handed it to me, and he said, "Here, I saw this, and it made me think of you." I'm like, okay, it's a rock. I'm curious where we're going with this. I mean, I've heard what happened to Stephen in the book of Acts, and he's bringing me rocks, and I'm a little bit concerned. And it was shaped like a shoe, and he said, "Saw this, it looked like a foot, and you have big feet, and it made me think of you." Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate that. So a couple months later, Eddie comes to me again, and he has another rock. And this time he'd taken a pencil, and he'd drawn little eyes and a mouth on it. And he said, I saw this, and it made me think of you. It looks like an alien. I drew eyes on it to help you see it. He didn't really explain what that had to do with me. To this day, I'm still trying to figure that out. But to this day, still, those rocks remain in my office because it was one life being shared with another. It was one person taking an interest in another person's life. And on so many occasions, as I see Eddie again, Eddie and I talk about those rocks sometimes, and we talk about many other things. Matter of fact, several years later, I just happened to be in Point Pleasant. This was well after I'd moved away, and I stopped in a gas station there on one end of town, and I was going to get me a drink and a candy bar, and put them up on the counter there. And as I go to pay, somebody reached around me and handed money to the cashier to pay for my drink and a candy bar. And I look around, and there's Eddie. And he said, let me get this for him. And so Eddie's always been taking care of me like that. And because of the little things like that, Eddie and I have been able to share our lives together. There was another man at Sand Hill, there in Point Pleasant, where I grew up. And he has since passed away. His name was Okie Buzzard. And Okie was just a tremendous man. And my understanding of Okie was that he was a tremendous basketball player back when he was in high school. I played basketball in high school, and I was not a tremendous basketball player. And Okie would sometimes let me know that. But my senior year of high school, Okie was pretty fragile at that point. But I'm pretty sure every home basketball game I had that year, our preacher, Pete, would pick up Okie and bring him to my basketball games. And he would sit there on the front row, and he'd watch me play. And of course, as luck would have it, oftentimes those basketball games would take place on a Saturday, which means I had to see Okie again on Sunday morning. And he'd pull me aside and he'd say, you know, you really should have done this. And he would kind of coach me. Okie gave us some pocket knives one time, and I have some of those pocket knives still to this day. And once again, it's another story of lives being shared together and how those little things turn into big things. So I ended up in my first full-time position working in ministry was with the Dunbar Church of Christ, which is where Erica grew up attending. And as I was there, there was a man there. His name was Tal Cheatham. And I began to learn to play golf, not well, but I started to like to play golf. And so I bought me a set of clubs and would go out oftentimes and try to hit the ball somewhere near the hole, and it didn't ever go well for me. And I was convinced that the problem wasn't me. The problem were these golf clubs that I bought. They just weren't any good. They couldn't match up to my skill level, quite frankly. Well, Tal was a very tremendous golfer. And so he came to me, and he and I had talked a little bit about golf, and I told him my concerns about my clubs and very specifically my driver. And so he came to me one Sunday, and he said, bought this driver a while back for me. He said, it doesn't really seem to fit the way that I play. Maybe you'll have some luck with it. And to this day, when I play golf, I still drive with Tal's driver. And he got the same raw deal I did on golf clubs because it doesn't work any better for me. I'm convinced it's the club. But it's little things like that, little stories that turn into big stories. There's a lady at Dunbar. I grew up with her in many ways because she was one of the main cooks at camp. Her name was Mary Lawrence. And on occasion, I would get a chance to preach at Dunbar. And about once a month, they would let me preach. And as I'm walking out, I'd walk to the back, and as people are walking out, I'm greeting them. People, as they oftentimes do with a young preacher, very encouraging. Never anything wrong, they would say. And Mary would come back to me, and in all seriousness, she'd look at me and she'd say, "Well, you're getting better." Thanks, Mary. Appreciate that. But it's little things like that that you remember. Little things that you know, even in maybe a different type of tone, I also knew she meant it. And I knew that she, maybe more than anybody, was paying close attention to what I was saying, and she was actually trying to almost grade me as to how I was improving. And so if Mary said I was getting better, it actually meant I was getting better. And so it's little things like that. After Dunbar, I ended up at Hurricane for a couple years. And I remember having a little bit of difficulty because, you know, Erica and I were very young at this time. I was 22, I think, when I began working at Hurricane. And you can imagine trying to befriend a 22-year-old preacher who maybe you look at him and you think, man, I don't know that he quite knows what he's doing yet. And now I'm 30-something, I still don't know what I'm doing yet. But, you know, it was oftentimes somewhat difficult for me to get together with people and spend time with them because it was a crowd of, you know, probably people 40s, 50s, 60s, so they're still working, and it's a little bit difficult. You know, it's easy for me to make visits with people who are retired during the day, but getting together with the working crowd is oftentimes a little bit difficult, and we ran into that a little bit, and even to the point where I almost wondered a little bit, you know, is it the work, or is it the fact they just don't know me yet? How do we get this set up? And so there was a couple there. They were, he was an elder there, still is an elder there. His name's Brian, and his wife's name's Christy, Brian and Christy Yost. And you know, they'd been there for some time. And so they began every Thursday night to host me and Erica for a time of coffee and desserts. And they would invite one or two other couples from church there as well to help us make those connections. And it wasn't anything major, but it was the little story that made a big difference. Another one of the elders there, Rob Pritchard. If you don't know Rob Pritchard, you need to know Rob Pritchard. Just out of curiosity, does anybody in here know Rob Pritchard, the elder at Hurricane? Man, you are missing out. So Rob is an elder, and he retired just a couple years ago. He was a milk truck driver. He drove for Broughton. And I've got about, I don't have time to tell all the stories that I have with Rob. But Rob is just a people person beyond any people person you've ever met in your life. And there were times, they had several people like that at Hurricane. And I remember one time sitting with Rob, and we had a lady who was in the hospital. And Rob and I had gone to sit with the family while she was having surgery. And there was another lady there from church who was also a people person beyond people person. And so I'm sitting here, and you've got, I think Rob was on this side. Gary Hanley was on this side, another elder there, who's also very much a people person. And this other lady, Irma, was sitting across from me. And I'm just sitting there watching. And all three of them are talking to each other. Not like one talking, the other one listening, and then responding. But all three talking to each other at the exact same moment. And I remember thinking, who's listening right now? But I tell that story just to maybe share the fact that Rob had gone with me on that visit, and that was one of many visits that Rob went with me on. Any time that Rob had a day off from work, he'd call me and say, Steve, let's go make a visit together. And we'd go, and there was one gentleman in particular who, you know, was pretty lonely at times, and we just set our whole day aside, and we'd go out there 3 or 4 hours, sit and talk with this gentleman. Made it easy for me because they would talk to each other. He was an old truck driver as well, and they had all these stories. I learned more about 18-wheelers than I'll ever need to know. But it was those times together and spending time with Rob, the milk truck driver, who would always tell me that the life of the milk truck driver was utter joy. I remember even one time running into him while he was on one of his trips, and he sent me home with a gallon of chocolate milk, a gallon of white milk, and a gallon of orange juice, I believe it was, free of charge, straight off the truck. But it's, you know, they weren't big stories. They were little stories. But they were little stories that made a big impact. You know, after leaving Hurricane, I ended up at 36th Street, like I said, and there were stories there as well. It was there that I worked with Mark Mason for several years, who to this day is one of my biggest mentors. If you know Mark, that's both a emotional comment and a physical comment. I mean, Mark's 6'7", I believe. He played basketball at OVU. but one of my biggest mentors, and I remember the many days where I would sit in his office and we would chat together about things. He was the main Old Testament professor. He taught Hebrew at OVU, and so I'd sit in his office and we'd talk Old Testament, and to this day that kind of fuels my love for Old Testament. I still call him very regularly and talk to him about things. There was a guy there also by the name of Jay Hauser. And Jay's a funny guy. So Jay didn't have any children, but he was always very involved with the youth group. And Jay was just this funny guy, like give you a hard time. And he would, even to the day I left, he would always call me the new guy. And when I put something on Facebook the other day about this new job that we were starting, he got on there and commented and called me the new guy. But Jay was remains to be actively enlisted in the Army. And we would do children's nights about once a month there on a Sunday night, and we would have all the children up front, would tell them stories from the Bible, and then kind of connect it with the adults, and we would sing the VBS songs. And I remember Jay, one time we'd have not just me tell the stories, but various people from church would take turns telling the stories. And Jay showed up one Sunday evening in his full uniform and taught the story to the children about being in the Lord's army with this visual aid of this soldier standing in front of them. And it made an impact on me because I was the youth minister, but it made an impact on these children as well because they got to see this. It was a visual aid that made sense to them. And it was a little gesture on Jay's part, but it was a big impact. It was a big story. These are the types of things that stick out to us. And I have many stories here as well, stories with each one of you. And I debated whether I would actually share anyone in particular because I don't have time to share all of them. And I don't want you to think that if I don't share a story with you, that means I don't have a story with you, because I probably have a story with most of you. But maybe I will share just a couple. One story that I remember in particular, and stories that I remember in particular, are time spent with Paul and Ann Estep. And Ann just meant so much to me. And Paul did as well. And I remember when I first got here, let's not lie about it. Paul, if you didn't know him well, maybe could come off a little bit gruff. And I'd been warned about that a little bit, not in a bad way, just you take your time, get to know him a little bit. And so I had decided that I was going to make this happen. Paul and I were going to be friends. Whether Paul wanted to be my friend or not, Paul and I were going to be friends. And so there was, Paul would oftentimes come by. He would take care of the building, and he would come by and during the week and do things at the building. There's one day I'm sitting in my office back there, and I hear a car pull into the parking lot. And I hear it pull into the parking lot because I just hear thud, 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 thud. And it was Paul pulling in his truck, and he had a flat tire. And I'm not certain that Paul knew that he had a flat tire. Because he came in, he was getting right to work, getting the building all cleaned up, and he stopped by my office. I said, "Paul, do you know you have a flat tire out there?" He said, I can't remember if he even told me if he knew that or not. But he and I went out there and looked at it, and this was while we were still living in the house over here. And I went over to the house and had him pulled over there, and we got cardboard out, and I laid down on the cardboard, got his tire out from underneath, and I changed his tire for him. Not because Paul can't change a tire. I mean, Paul could. Frankly, I'm surprised Paul let me change his tire, because he could do it better than I could. And I don't tell you that story to toot my own horn. I tell you that story to tell you that from that day forward, Paul and I were friends. And I think Paul and I were friends prior to that. But from that day forward, Paul would oftentimes, on his afternoons when he would come in to empty the trash or something like that, it just got to the point where I had to let Erica know, was it Thursdays that Paul came in? I think so. I think Erica just knew that Thursdays I was coming home late. I was gonna be a little bit later, because Paul would come in and he'd just sit down in the chair there and we would talk, and he would tell me stories of of him and Anne, him and growing up. He'd tell me stories of him and his first wife and everything that went along with that. He'd tell stories of his kids. But from the time that we had that interaction where I was able to change his tire for him, Paul would also tell me when he'd leave that he loved me. And he would say it in somewhat of a weird way at times. He wouldn't necessarily tell me that he loved me. He would thank me for the brotherly love. It was almost like he was trying to keep it masculine somehow. But Paul and I shared that love for each other. I'm reminded of, man, so many stories. I'm reminded of the various interactions that I've had with each one of the elders, the many times that Joe would stop by and talk. And Joe, in Joe's way, before he'd leave, with no particular need, I don't want to say need for it, no particular agenda behind it, would just say, well, before I leave, let's have a prayer together. And Joe would pray for me. And those things, these are, like I said, they're little stories with big impacts. I remember when Mom passed away on a Saturday night and needing to figure out, all right, I got to preach the next morning. How's this going to happen? And being able to call the elders and say, you know what? Here's what's going on. You all got to take care of this. And I remember getting no pushback on that. I remember instead Joe Masker and Janine saying, hey, do you need us to drive Point Pleasant tonight and just come be with you all? I remember Bill the next morning getting up and preaching / teaching in Bill's way that he did. And I remember several months later still struggling with the difficulties of those moments as they will linger at times. And sometimes it seems like those things would come up whenever I would sit down to preach or to write a sermon. And I remember struggling for a while to feel like I was doing anything other than just writing a sermon. And I remember sitting on the front porch at Chris and Renee's house and Chris talking to me and praying with me and offering me some time off and just saying, hey, I'm not too concerned if you preach next week. I'm more concerned as to if you're preaching 3 months from now. And I remember things like that being little things that have big impacts. And like I said, there are so many other stories that I would share, but maybe one more that I would share. We have like one Cowboys fan in this church. And it's my son. And it's my understanding that many years ago we had one other Cowboys fan in this church, Christopher Denham. And that's been a bonding moment for Chuck and Shirley and Avery. And so this morning, Shirley came and gave Avery a bag, and they'd got him a Cowboys hat. One more thing we got to pack and take with us. And last week, Shirley came with a bag, and it was a Cowboys alarm clock that belonged to Chris, and she gave to Avery, knowing that he would like that, and it sits beside his bed now. One more thing we got to pack. We're leaving today because we're taking Chuck and Shirley's house with us also. We can't afford to take any more cowboy stuff, nor do we want any more cowboy stuff. But it's the little things. And maybe what I would just say is this. There's some sort of infinite wisdom that is hard for us to understand that makes perfect sense about the way that God created churches to be families. And the way that he created us to be able to not just sit together and sing together and pray together, but to have our hearts shared with each other. To have our hearts touched by each other. And for that, I just want to say thank you. Because I loved you all so much, and because I love you so much, I was delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but to share my life as well. And I thank you for sharing your life with me. And knowing that because our hearts are knit together, we will continue to share our lives together. And so we're going to sing a song here in a moment, and the invitation is the same as it always is. And I would ask that if you need to respond to that invitation when Alex leads us in that song and we stand together, you come forward and we'll take care of your need at that time. But before we do that, actually, let's go ahead and stand together. Before we do that, you know, I've got one more thing I want to share. You can keep standing. I want to make 5 points. You're like, I got to stand through 5 points. 5 points that I shared in a sermon about 2 years ago. That I think if I had one thing that I wanted to leave with you, this is what I'd say, this is what you need to do. So about 2 years ago, we installed new elders. And as I did that, I left you with these 5 points. And I think these 5 points are just so incredibly important right now for this time of transition. I won't back it up with any scripture. You know the scriptures. I'll just give you the points. Pray for our shepherds. Partner with our shepherds. Trust our shepherds. Offer grace to our shepherds. And love our shepherds. Chris and Tom are two tremendous men. Their wives are pretty good people too. Matter of fact, Chris and Tom aren't that great. It's just their wives. And they've got a tough road ahead of them to have just two shepherds, two elders to guide you. And man, I want you to be behind them. And I want you to support them. And I want you to pray for them. And I will too. So I'll leave you with that. But as we stand together and as you respond to the invitation, I want to close with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God, just as I am, just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now
to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
I'm going to ask Erica to come up, and we're going to pray for Stephen and Erica. And if I know there's obviously COVID concerns, but if you're comfortable and you want to come up and gather around them, we'll say a prayer for them in just a moment. I did want to update you guys on a couple things. I got a text during church. Greg Moore texted and said that Dorothy's not doing well, his mother, and the family's gathered, and they don't anticipate that she'll live very much longer. So they're celebrating her life. He said that she's had a tremendous life, and he wanted everyone to know that that's what's going on with her right now. I also want to make sure that everyone's aware that that Tom Winnell did have a minor stroke this about a week ago. He's home and doing well, but continue to keep Tom and Jane in your prayers as well. So if you want to come up, I'm not going to stand too close to Stephen because we have the same shirt on, and I think he won the contest there. He looks better in his shirt, too. So if anybody wants, who feels comfortable, come up and gather around the walkers. And close with that prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so thankful for this family. We're thankful for the message that Stephen brought to us today. We're thankful for the institution of a church, of this body. In your wisdom, you knew that it takes a village to raise each other and to raise our families and to support each other. And we're just thankful for each person here, each of our members. We're thankful for that we do get to share our lives together. I truly believe it's not an accident that we're here together, and we're just so thankful for each of the folks that worship here together. Father, this morning we do want to pray for the Walkers. We have been tremendously blessed to have them here the last 6 years through some very difficult times and through some great times. And I'm tremendously thankful for them and for their heart. We pray that they can continue to seek you, to always rely on your wisdom and to bring others to Christ, to continue to be a light to the world. And just pray that you continue to bless them, bless this body here, bless our church here, and our works in the community here. And ultimately, we just pray that we can all bring others to you. And we just pray that we can grow closer together and closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.